I love you to the Lord tonight, amen. All the way to Him, amen. Just sing that song, Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb, amen.
And hallelujah.
Yeah.
Saints. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Worthy Father. Amen. Amen. I'm just thankful for the Lord bringing them here tonight. Amen. Amen. We do have a few announcements. We will be having prayer this Friday at 7:30, one service on Sunday with Sunday school, and then we also will be having a carry-in this weekend for those who would be participating. So, if you would, after service, see Sister Jody. Amen. Amen. That's all for announcements. Just also remember the families of those. I don't know if everybody heard about the plane crash out in Arizona, about the believers there, the young believers that had passed away in that plane crash, that you just pray for their families. Amen. So, and then we also have one testimony here, praise the Lord, from Sister Julia. It says, thank you for your prayers. It has been 2 weeks since I lost my checkbook, and I had looked everywhere for it, and I couldn't find it. The last place I remembered seeing it was at the blueberry farm in our outlook. Yesterday, I had this urge to go back to the blueberry farm one more time before the season ended. Before getting out, I was sitting in our cobalt looking for some cash. I opened my wallet, and there was my checkbook. What a miracle God put my checkbook back in my wallet. Amen. So give God a round of applause for that. Amen. Amen. You know he does it with wallets, he can do it with checkbooks too, amen. Amen. I mean, to say with an upraised hand, you'd have a need from the Lord, amen. Just ask for the Simon if you come with us in word of prayer, amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings.
Praise God, saints. Just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you called us again, God, Lord, and Lord, over in Arizona, Lord, four young ones lost their lives, God, Lord, and Lord, we're trusting there with you, God, and Lord, for some reason, Lord, you saw fit, God, that each one, Lord, would still be living here, God, Lord, and Lord, we just want your perfect will in our lives, God, Lord, and help us to find, Lord, and anoint each one here, God, Lord, to look for these last seeds, God, Lord, we believe the fields are white for harvest, God, Lord, and we just want to find these last ones here, God, Lord, we want to get them, Lord, right to the Holy Ghost, God, Lord. We want to get them to the position they're supposed to be in, God, Lord. Just lead us, each one of us, God, Lord, to a soul you can use us to win, Lord, or to touch, God, Lord, to sow to, Lord, to water to, Lord. Lord, just guide us, guide our footsteps, God. Help us to find these last few, God, Lord. And, Lord, if anyone here, God, Lord, not at their position, Lord, God, Lord, just put them in their position, God, Lord, and get us, Lord, ready for this exit, Lord, God. We see it coming, God, Lord. Lord, quicken us each, God, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Thank you for the testimony, God, Lord. Lord, delivering our sister, Lord, her checkbook, God, Lord. Just bless her, God, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, Lord. You're faithful, God, Lord. Just bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And be with us this service, Lord. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I don't know if everybody knows that song, My God is Real, amen. For I can feel him in my soul. How many know that we serve a living God, amen? Amen. Amen. There are some places that I may not know. There are some places that I cannot go. But I'm sure. But I am sure of this one thing. Just sing that song, Hallelujah, anyhow. Don't let that devil get you down, no matter how hard a day you might have had, no matter how hard the devil fought you today. Just say Hallelujah, anyhow, and he'll shame that devil. Amen. Hallelujah, anyhow. Don't let that devil get you down. Oh, when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, Hallelujah, anyhow. Sing it again. Well, Hallelujah, anyhow. Oh, don't let that devil get you down. Oh, when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, Hallelujah. Devil gets you down.
and destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, hallelujah anyhow. And he's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Yes, he's everything. Well, he's everything. He's everything to me. Well, he's everything. He's everything to me. And I love him, adore him. I lay my life down for him. He's everything. Sing it like you mean it. Oh, yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Hallelujah, anyhow. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. Hallelujah, don't let the devil get you down. Oh, when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah, anyhow. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, anyhow. Well, don't let the devil get you down. And when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saint. Amen. You're worthy, Lord. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I'll Fly Away, Some Glad Morning When This Life Is Over.
And some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Oh, yes, well, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. Oh, in the morning, I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly.
Sing that song, I Call Him Savior. Amen.
I call Him Savior. Your name is Savior. You are a Savior to me. Well, I call Him Savior. Your name is Savior. A Savior you are, and a Savior you'll be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I call Him Deliverer. Oh, His name is Deliverer. Oh, You are a Deliverer to me. I call Him Deliverer. Oh, His name is Deliverer. Deliverer You are, and Deliverer You'll be. Yeah, 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 yeah. I call Him Doctor. His name is Doctor. He has been doctor to me. I call Him Doctor. His name is Doctor. A doctor you are, and a doctor you'll be. Yeah, 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 yeah. I call Him Husband. Your name is Husband. A husband to me. Call Him Faithful. His name is Faithful, 'cause He has been faithful to me. I call Him Faithful. Your name is Faithful. Faithful You are, and faithful You'll be. Yeah, 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 yeah. I call Him all that. Your name is all that, 'cause You have been all that to me.
How many can say that without a shadow of a doubt? He is all that to you tonight, amen. He's more than everything. He's the compound redemptive name of Jesus Christ, amen. Everything that we need was poured into Him that we might have it in this church, amen. How many are looking forward to that, amen, having that in the church of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I would just sing that song. I'm going all the way just to see Him as our brother Cam prepares himself to come, amen. How many can't wait for that day we see Israel and the homeland doing all the different things, fighting on every side? We just know that our redemption is drawing nigh, amen.
Going all the way just to see Him. Oh, I'm going all the way just to see Him. Yes, I'm going all the way just to see Him, the one who suffered and He died for me. I might have to cry sometimes, but I'll see Him. I might have to cry sometimes, but I'll see Him. I might have to cry sometimes, but I'll see Him. The one who suffered and died. I have to walk by myself. I might have to walk by myself, but I'll see Him. No, I'll see Him. Might have to walk by myself, but I'll see Him. I might have to walk by myself, but I'll see Him. The one who suffered and died for me. I might have to get down on my knees, but I'll see Him. I might have to get down on my knees, but I'll see Him. I might have to get down on my knees, but I'll see Him. The one who suffered and died for me. Yes, I'm going, and I'm going all the way just to see Him. Oh, yes, I'm going all the way just to see Him.
House of God this evening, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to jump right into the Word of God tonight. Good to see those able to press out this evening. I got a call from Brother Philip. Want to remember him in prayer tonight. He's working in a basement that's filled with sewage right now. So any plumber would be able to really catch the sympathy of that. And I've never done that, but what I've done, I couldn't imagine what that'd be. But by the grace of God, we just want to remember him in our prayers and all the rest that weren't able to make it tonight. But it's good to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Praise God. You happy to be in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
Are you really happy to be in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Are you really happy that God's in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
It's revealed. I know he's here.
Amen.
Amen. Because the bride's here. Hallelujah. Amen. If we had our Bibles, I'd like to open to a few portions of Scripture. I'd like to go to Revelations 3, verse 15. And then after that, we're going to go to Hebrews 6, verse 1. I have this very deep thought in my mind, and this is not the deep part of it. I haven't been able to put everything together, but I just have that thought. We're still working with maturity tonight, and I pray that you'll be blessed. Amen. We had good services on Sunday. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. I tell you, every time I see Brother John and Sister Mary, I fall in love with them even more, and I didn't get enough time to spend with the young'uns, so I just keep my love right there right now for all of them, and just a real blessing to have them, amen. Real blessing to have the Lightners here, and just real wonderful Christians there, amen. So we're happy to be Christians tonight, and it's good to have brothers and sisters in Christ as well, amen. So in Revelations 3:15, probably won't be able to cover all this tonight, but I would like to just take a dip in. See how far we can get. Revelations 3:15 says, I know thy works. We're very, very associated with this because why? This is the age we're living in. Amen. Laodicea here, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. How many be able to say, boy, I wish I didn't feel like that as much as I do. What is it? It's the spirit of the age. Amen. Well, there's a couple of here that are still recognizing with that. That's good. It says here that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. Amen. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. How many of us know I'm rich? But the poorest American is in the top 20% of the world's wealth.
Amen.
Amen. Now you can feel pretty blessed about that, but when you realize that basically was it the top or 37% of the world's wealth is held by the richest 1%. It actually still says you're poor compared to them. Amen. But by the grace of God, it says, because thou sayest I am rich, increased with goods. Yep, we're able to associate with that one too. Amen. Have need of nothing. Yeah, that's kind of a problem too now. And knowest now not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So notice here, we do have a good thing about ourselves here because the Scripture says, because thou sayest. We know that we're all these, but we're not saying that because we're trying to leave that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. It's going to be the pride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So notice here he says, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Amen. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:1, we're going to read half of this verse. us to look at what's really being said here, okay? Hebrews 6:1, I've read this a lot in my pastorship. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. I have to leave the principles. Let us go on unto perfection. Amen? And I don't have to read the rest of it. The rest of it is the doctrines that they are not really excelling at, right? Now notice what this is. I want us to get this in our mind as we move into this. What is this? Have they been taught these things? Yes. But they have not really put that in action. So in order to go to perfection, you first have to have the first principles matured.
Amen.
Don't get quiet on me already. I promise you I'm not going to be quiet. Let's bow our heads. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you tonight, God. And we just thank you, Lord, for just a precious word that you've given us, Lord. And God, as we work with maturity, immaturity of the church, God, we understand that this is a very sensitive area for us all, Lord. And God, we just, Lord, I believe our issue with it is we really do inside want to be mature Christians, God. I really believe that in all of our hearts, God, we want to live as close to you as we can, God. And so often we become rather tied with immaturity than maturity, God. But Lord, a lot of times we just really aren't catching the picture, God. But Lord, if we could just do the best we can, God, and just allow the Spirit, Lord, just to take control and just realize exactly where we're living at and to come to a place that we really do get it, God. So we're just asking, God, that we can't just make these things happen, God. We have to have you do those. So we're trusting tonight, by your mercy, the God who is rich in mercy, that, Lord, you'd come amongst us, God, and just unveil your word to us, God. Give us strength, Lord, even in this portion I'm dealing with, God. You know I don't really fully know how to go into it. But yet, Lord, I know you've led me to go, Lord. I just pray, God, you'd certainly forgive me, God. I'm sure there's more I could always do, God, to be better prepared, to be smarter as a Christian or wherever I may fail, God. Lord, I pray you just hinder it not, Lord. Feed your church tonight, God. And Lord, even though they've come to church and maybe not produced a great atmosphere, maybe not even come as clean as they would like to have come, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you'd overlook all of our faults, God, and allow a grace to encompass us tonight, Lord. We just trust that you'll do it, and we love how awesome of a God you are, Lord, how you love your children, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe, Lord, that you'll come and be with us tonight as we say, Amen. You may be seated. I was trying to think of a dazzler type of title this evening, and I didn't come up with one. You know, I've heard of ministers, they come up with these great titles like the Scarlet Harlot and all these other little great thoughts. But by the grace of God, I just have a very simple, right to the point title/topic this evening. Amen? And that is leaving Laodicea to Ephesus. Amen. As you have noticed, our direction the last two sermons that I have preached is that we're working on a level of the local body. We're working on a maturity of us as individual believers, how we're allowing faith to be our substance. Amen. And how we're actually progressing into something that we hold so dear as far as a revealed word to us. Amen? So by the grace of God tonight, we want to work with leaving Laodicea to Ephesus. Maybe if I could give the best dazzler I had, I would just say, let us go on into perfection. Oh, how exciting that is. I feel like shouting right now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So notice here, we're talking about leaving Laodicea to Ephesus. So notice, we've worked with the local body a little bit. We've worked with our individuality. And by the grace of God, tonight I want to turn that just a little bit, because in all honesty, we can't live above prophecy. Amen. I want us to understand that as we begin to work into this. Remember, it was always God's mission to take a church out of a church. Amen. It was always God's design that God would allow something to be sown and then a movement of a progressive sort out of the sowing that He had just done. Amen. It's been God's will. It's always been God's design. So in this day and age, in this hour, we have to understand that it is God's design that we would be a mature church. But in order to do that, we must progress. Amen. We must move into a closer walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I pray that we can get a little excited about this, because this right here is everything that you are looking forward to. Amen. I want you to understand tonight, when I say that you cannot live above prophecy, put it in your mind with me, that when you look at Jeremiah, he prophesied that Israel would be bonded in captivity for 70 years. Now tell me, what revival during that period could have changed the Word of God that was unalterable? Amen. Nothing could have changed the 70 years dictated to God's people. It was what? It was a revelation from God to a prophet and from a prophet to a people. Amen. So notice here, Daniel, when all the revivals failed from Jeremiah 4, that here Daniel picks up and says, wait a minute, here's the captivity, but it has to leave now because the 70 years are almost up. So nothing could happen as far as a move on the people until the prophetic word what fell in line with the age it was delivered. What do you say? That there had to be what? The fulfillment of the Word to progress the church to a place that they could perform the good Word of God. Amen. Yeah. Come on, brother. Oh, hallelujah. This ain't deep, church. Just pay attention with me if you can tonight. I want you to understand that these things have been prophesied. Amen. This condition has been prophesied. Hallelujah. Amen. If that don't make you want to jump and shout, that's the only thing you're holding on to. That's the only grace that you can find, is that God prophesied this would happen. He showed it in shadows. He showed it in types. Amen. What do you think Samson was? It was a type of the church that would have the prophet go. So then what? So that the bride could cry out once more without those eyes. Hallelujah. Remember the time when Jesus was resting on the ship. Amen. And that what? Brother Branham said what? They had left a revival. And what? Jesus was resting between the revivals. So what? It come upon the disciples when the storm come out that they had to cry out. They had to, what? It was called, go wake Jesus. Someone has to move in the line of this Word. Amen. It can't be a denomination because they don't have that Word. It can't be part of the message. What? It can't be the message in the entirety, this big sphere of cliques and everything else we have. It has to be a church out of a church. I'm not saying that other churches ain't going to make it, but we have to catch this revelation, and you have to move on the revelation. Don't you realize that when God starts a word somewhere, that God will give that place the opportunity to receive that word? So what happens if they don't accept it? Well, We don't want this to be a negative sermon. I better change the topic right now. Amen. But you have what? You have a word sowed. But just like Hebrews 6, are we acting upon the word? Are we still at a first principle basis with God? Hallelujah. So notice here, if we could, I'm really not getting far already. And that wasn't in my notes, but I guess that's just the way we need to go. So notice here, if we have to move on here, I want us to see, remember, we're talking about a mature church. We talked about a mature individual, a mature church. But yet now, I want us to work with a mature age. Amen. Which means it's not just limited to here, but we have to realize that we are part of that age. That we are part of that maturing process. Amen. We believe there's not just one here. That the whole church, the church will move into position. Amen. Now notice here. Let me read this quote. Jesus keeps all his appointments. 64:22, and it says, that's exactly when the church and the word has to be one, like Jesus and God was one. So what? You have to be one with the word, just like Jesus was with what? The Father. So have we reached that stage? Well, let's keep reading. It says, they, God has, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so will Christ have to be in the church, the anointed word, anointed of the word, to make everything fulfilled. So what can make things fulfilled? The only way that this end of the Laodicean church age can bring a fulfillment to the prophetic word is to move into oneness with Christ. Remember, that's why we've been working with Corinthians. We are so spiritually inept that we don't know how to yield our physical and spiritual being to God. Oh, thank God we could yield our souls. Hallelujah. Thank God that God could move us in a position that we could give our lives to this message and we're staying without it maturing. And thank God even above that, that there's a God that ordained it and there's a God that will finish the authorship that He has on your life. So notice it says, and that's the capstone that comes upon the last church age. Not the Laodicea now. It's a calling out of that. When is this? 64? Well, I thought the prophet's message did that. Well, hadn't done it by 64. Let's keep on working. It's calling out of that a bride out of a church. Church out of a church. And otherwise, just like he called a nation out of a nation in Egypt. And now we're living in that day. We're grateful for these things that we've been saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want us to remember, if we remember our title tonight, remember what Ephesus was. Ephesus was the mature church. In the New Testament, it was the example of what maturity was in a church. When you looked at a local body, you see maturity. Amen. Remember, no divisions, no strifes. No people bringing every different revelation, but everybody stood right with the pastor. Everybody stood with the deacons, the trustees. Everybody stood with one another. And what? They were so yielded to the Holy Ghost that they were like peas in a pod. But I believe that different. Well, it looks like we need to get praying. So notice here, we're now showing that Ephesus was the mature local body. And yet they were so mature that God actually allowed the first church age to be named after them. This is simple, okay? You keeping with me? So what? He would allow a local body, the key local body, to be what? The precedent of the lion anointing. I want us to understand this, because what is the lion anointing? It is the lion out of the tribe of Judah. It's not a lamb, it's a lion. It is what? A lamb is powerless, but a lion has power. When Jesus was on earth, He was a lamb. He was called a lamb. Behold the lamb. But when what? When He died and resurrected, He brought forth a lion. But He could only make lions out of sheep. He couldn't what? Make them lions out of lions, because anything in their being that was not sheep could not be a lion. Amen. If it started out as a lion, it was a carnal lion. Oh, that's a lot of our problems. We still got a little carnal lion on us, but we're not sheep enough to let the lion or the lion make us what? A lion ourselves. So what was Ephesus? As we've done all our studies in the church ages, it was what? It was, so to say, the top tier church of all seven church ages. Hallelujah. Well, what about Laodicea? That depends how you're saying it. Because I just read you what Laodicea was. Didn't we just read what Laodicea was? It was a bunch of lukewarm people sitting up in pews. And the whole time God's looking at you and saying, what do you want to be? Do you want to be hot or cold? Do you realize, church, that every one of us at some point in time will make our final decision if you want to be hot or cold? You're sitting in a Laodicean atmosphere right now. Oh, hallelujah. We got to leave this atmosphere. Amen. But one of us can't do it by ourselves as far as to turn the whole church. We got to make a move. Hallelujah. How many have been praying for the last week or 2 weeks that God, bring my gift. Show me what I am. I covet these things. I covet them. Why? I covet them because I want to yield to You. If you have a thought in your mind, I want him because Lord, I want to have the power. Wrong mindset. Plenty of people have that. That's when you start manufacturing. But what? But if you can look at it and you can say, God, I want Your Spirit inside of me. I want so much of Your Holy Ghost inside of me that, Lord, You can control me in any way You want to control me. Okay, so how many of us now have it figured out which spiritual gifts of the nine are ours? Yeah, you knew I was going to bring that back around. Back to the word of wisdom. I'm there. Where's your miracles been at? Hallelujah. Well, yeah. I just seen a cat live. Hallelujah. My wife's been looking for a checkbook for 2 weeks. She put a prayer request into the church. She already checked her wallet. And yesterday she looks in her wallet and it's right there. She said, did you put that in there? So I don't even know where your wallet's at. Sorry. Don't think any less of me. So I didn't do nothing about that. I don't know what it is. Well, you see, there's got to be a different explanation. No. You're moving from the framework of God's mind. God's mind brings impossible. Amen. God makes impossible possible. He makes undoable doable. But what are they? They're little signs that God's doing in your little life, your little sphere. There is power. It's little signs God is getting that you can see that this is real. But we're too busy looking at everything else. If we could just look at how simple this is and what God really wants to do. Oh, God can do powerful things in my personal life. God can do powerful things right here.
Amen.
Oh, and by the way, that's the main purpose. He does powerful things. He likes to see churches without spot or wrinkle. Now, notice here, when we begin to look at this, I want us to see something here. So, we have Ephesus, the mature church. Tonight I'll stay a little out of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians just to give us a little break on the smacking. But by the grace of God, I want us to look at Ephesus tonight. Remember what? Ephesus means aimed at, yet relaxed. So what? They were what? They started out with the fire, but they lost it. Amen. Now, I want you to see this. Because remember what these seven church ages are to do. They are to show what? Life, death, burial, and resurrection. That's what these churches, whether you see it or not, seven church ages show death, burial, and resurrection. Don't you see that Jesus Christ is living His characteristic out through seven church ages?
Amen.
The seven church ages show the fullness of God.
Amen.
But don't you realize they show it to the world?
Come on, brother.
They're looking for Jesus Christ. Look no further. So notice, we start out by talking about a church out of a church. I'm going to try to go through some of this fairly fast. I'll probably be this. God who is rich in mercy, Phoenix, Arizona 65. Now notice all these are late quotes here. It says, in the 30th paragraph, it says, now speaking last Sunday on the Ephesians, how that the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament, and how it was a book of redemption. Now, let me ask the church, let me see how mature you are. Here he says that he was talking about the book of Joshua being the Ephesians of the Old Testament. So what was the Ephesians? The mature church. And what was Joshua? The mature church in the Old Testament. Now, here's your trivia. Where was it before this that a message was based on Ephesians and Joshua? Can you tell me the series? Anybody? The adoption series, the first message he preached, was Ephesians parallels Joshua. And you listen to the message, it doesn't really go into it that much. But what was it? It was a sowing of adoption. And then he waits, or the Lord has him wait all the way to the end, very end of the ministry, to go start talking about Ephesians again. Which, notice, what was Ephesians? Maturity. And how was it brought out to the church? Adoption. So what was it? A further revelation of the truth that had already been given. Now, so notice here, It says, let me read this again because I want you to catch this special little part right here. So now I'm speaking last Sunday on Ephesians, how the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament, and how it was a book of redemption. So what was Joshua? It was a book of redemption. Which is what? To take something that was lost and to buy it back. Amen? That's to redeem. To take something that was lost and to buy it back. Now notice, it was a book of redemption. Joshua was. Now look at the characteristics of Joshua. Invincibility. But wait a minute here. Remember that the book of Joshua parallels Ephesus. So Ephesus was a book of redemption as well. So the Ephesians churches was what? It was a book of redemption. Corinthians was not a book of redemption. Any other epistle was not a book of redemption, but Ephesus was that redemption. Remember, Paul couldn't tell the other churches what he could tell the Ephesians church. They were a church among a lot of other churches. But they were a special church. Oh God, if I could only find that church. If you can't put yourself in that church, you got a lot of problems. Amen. I'm talking about a local body. Amen. I'm not looking at this. I am looking at the Word. The Word is my proof. The sowing of that Word is my proof. Because if the Word isn't sown, it can't come forth. So if everyone is dealing with some other thought in mind and they're not working with what is needed, that shows what? It shows that they can't come up to that Word. Let me give you a complete obvious example. The Assemblies of God are preaching rapture. Different kind of rapture. The Assembly of God are preaching what? A style of sanctification. They're teaching a holiness, a different holiness. I ask you, can that denomination bring forth a rapture? Why not? Because it doesn't have the Word. I can't make it more obvious than this. So what would it show? That if the Word is being sown, that the people can respond to that Word. And what? Like I said, it makes you feel better when you see that there's a prophecy concerning that Word. Because then that shows that if you stay with the Word, it will eventually produce the prophecy. What? So it comes to the place that the Word produces of itself. Because what? If the full Word is sown, it shows that it's not a preacher. It shows it is the Word Himself. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So, what is Ephesus? It's a picture of revelation. Amen. Of redemption.
Right.
I jumped a little ahead with that revelation statement, so just don't even think about that right now. So notice here in 31, it says, and redemption has two different parts, to come out of and entering into. So notice what? Joshua, they were leaving the wilderness and moving on into perfection. They were invincibility. Nobody was dying in any battles. Sounds pretty mature, right? So what was Ephesians? Ephesus was actually almost there. They were touching the fullness of the Word. But because of the Word's prophecy itself, it couldn't bring forth. It had to die off. But what was it? Ephesus was actually a coming out and a going in. They come out of the law. And what? Immediately they moved into the maturity of the Word. I wish you could see it. Can't we see it? You know, the problem is that we can't see where we're at. Oh, hallelujah. We can say, oh, I can touch that part of Laodicea. Oh, I can touch the rich part. I can touch the need of nothing part. But you have to leave Laodicea. Laodicea will go into the tribulation. That's what I'm saying. We'll have to make a choice. Do we want to be cold? Or do we want to be hot?
Come on, amen. Right.
So notice here. It says first, you have to come out. Well, do you realize what Ephesus actually come out of? It come out of the denominations of the Pharisees and Sadducees. It come out of the false priesthood. It come out of a church that was formal, cold, and powerless. So what was Ephesus? It was a book of redemption. So where are you at? Now notice this. First, you have to come out. Now, notice what it says here. Some people want to bring the world in with them. But you got to come out of the world. So in order to have a book of redemption at the coming of the Lord, what do you have to do? You have to come out. It's pretty simple, isn't it? So, to enter, but you have to come out of the world to enter into Christ. You have to come out of unbelief to enter into faith. Everybody's looking at me like, I love it. There cannot be one thing in your way. To really have genuine faith, how many people are showing genuine faith? Oh, then this is exactly what you need. This must be led of God. This must not be some little thought that just come by. To to really have genuine faith, you must absolutely leave everything that's contrary to the Word of God behind to enter into faith. And that was the book of the Ephesians of the Old Testament, Joshua, linking them both together. Where, now notice this, where Moses represented the law and could not save no one, but grace could. So now we're actually looking at the Old Testament parallel. And notice what it says. It says that Moses represented the law. The prophet represented the law. But after the prophet left or was took off the scene, then it says, grace, come on. Joshua was grace. And Joshua is the same word like Jesus, Jehovah's Savior. And now then we find out that we have come to another Ephesians. Another Ephesus now. Where that in our intellectual denominations and so forth. I love how he says so forth. And all of our educational programs has come. You know what my job I've been on? I've been asked probably 4 or 5 times already where I went to school at for my preaching certification. I tell them, well, I went to the School of Neology. Or I just flat out tear it up. It says, in all of our educational programs has come to its Jordan. Educational programs? Yeah, them schools are all bad. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the creeds and dogmas that you have been fed. Then we must have, in Ephesians again, we must have an exodus to come out and to go into for a rapture. So I want you to picture this in your head. What is Laodicea? It is a backslid, half-hearted age where the individuals in that age will mainly manifest that. So here's my question. Can God have a rapture with a bunch of lukewarm people that He already said He'd spit out of His mouth? It's absolutely impossible. Are you ready for this? Oh, I'm sorry. I just do that sometimes, you know. So in order to have a rapture, the people would have to look, not lukewarm, but they'd actually have to look like Jesus Christ. Amen. Not half like Christ. That's what lukewarm is. You look kind of like Jesus, but you kind of don't. Oh, hallelujah. I hope we're all saying, God, I want to look more like you tonight, God. That's my desire. What is it? It is a rapture calling that has struck you. Just the plain, simple fact that you are miserable without the full life the Word says you're happy with the relationship with God right now? I'm not. But you should be. Why? Why should I be happy with what I'm looking at when what I'm looking at doesn't look back at the Word? Oh, wait, are you ready for a message comment? You see, those are the highlights in the book of Acts. You know, if you look at all that God has done for us in the last 10, 15 years, you know, we've more than fulfilled all of that. What kind of Holy Ghost is that? Do you realize what that says? That is some sort of educational mind that says, well, you know, I just counted all the miracles in the book of Acts, and there's actually 20 of them. I think over the last 50 years we've had 20 miracles. So we're actually, I think we actually have 30. So we're actually living farther above the book of Acts than what they were living. So we must be the mature church. Do you realize what that is saying? That is limiting the life of Christ to a few limited experiences when the church is actually supposed to come into a life where Jesus Christ is alive every day. You are a prisoner every day. That Jesus is supernatural every day. That's what God is going to take out of a rapture. Not a lukewarm Christian, but a Christian that looks like Jesus Christ every day, both in the truth and in the spirit. I feel better now. I just had to get that off my shoulders. I'm smiling, yeah. Oh, it really feels good. So, notice what we're looking at now. We're looking at a mature church. 65, they hadn't got there yet. But from his statement, he said, I feel like we're moving into that right now. Okay? Now, I want us to see a little bit more here. So watch. In order to have an exodus, you must have redemption. So in order to have a rapture, you have to have a going out and a coming in. I mean, if you want to go deep with me, that's why he took the book. Do you realize? When he poured out the Holy Ghost on the day of the upper room, he hadn't took the book yet. And that was the book of redemption. But in this day, he takes the book and tells you to eat the little book. Amen. So he does something in this age that he didn't even do there. Amen. And it all has to do with coming out and going in. So in order to go out, you must first digest redemption. Because you ate the book. Oh, we're going to start. Well, wait a minute. Lamb's Book of Life. This is the most mysterious book that you've ever seen. Redemption is right here. This is a book of redemption when it is opened up and given to you. Isn't it 8:30 yet, brother? In order for you to make a rapture, you have to first digest redemption. You have to eat it, and it has to live. Let us go on into perfection. Do you actually understand what that is? Let us go into perfection. Hebrews 6:1. What is perfection? Perfection is maturity. Remember, we read the definition. Maturity, mature means to ripen to its fullest. Competent. Competent Christians. Competent at being a lamb. I just had to throw that in there, okay? So notice here, I want you to see something here real quick. I'm going to jump a couple times here. Paradox 65:143. It says, and how much more has he promised? How much more is it leaving in the Bible? To this very age that we're living, the Ephesians again of the church ages. So do you realize why you have to have this prophet? Because without this prophet, you wouldn't have a clue that you had to come into Ephesus. They don't have a clue what Revelations means. None of them do. There's a lot of message people that don't have a clue what Revelations is. But we know. That's all you're going to give me? But we do. Yeah. You're right. Do you know? One in a million. One in a million. Making a rapture. But we know.
Yeah.
One in a million. Almost to a place that know of this message. I know I'm a little off there, but I ain't far from it. But we know it.
Yeah. Amen.
See how immature we are? Do you realize? Do you ever think of where you'd be if God hadn't given you this message? But we know it. Yeah. Yeah. Is he done yet? You're still a religion. You're still a religion. If you ain't got, if there ain't any life within you that's celebrating, I mean, don't you think if you had the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost heard that, he'd say, hallelujah! Oh, that's right. He would only do it if you had gotten to a place where you could yield your flesh and your spirit to Him. Oh, I know we're back down to that nice spiritual gifts again. And we sit here saying, yeah, we got it. Yeah. Yeah. You have been predestined. You have been foreordained. You have been shown something, and the more people you tell about that want absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ, let alone the message.
Right.
And you're sitting here and saying, yeah, it's just going to church tonight. The guy at work says, Cam, these chicken wings that I'm going to get tonight, they are amazing. He said, this is like my favorite night of the week. I said, Brian, this is my favorite night of the week too. He says, why is that? I said, because I'm going to eat the meat of the word tonight, Brian. He's like, oh yeah, you got church. I said, yes, I got church. Yes, I have something to be excited about. Oh, hallelujah, I got wings. And I have the open book of this word revealed to me. The excitement of God right here in a small, dinky church. With the ability to make us invincible. The ability to make this church live like Jesus. And we're not even excited about it. You have something to be excited about. You got something to get what moving about. You have the greatest revelation that has ever struck this world. The only one that could ever come on the line you come was the Word Himself.
Amen.
To he that overcometh, why grant to sit on my throne? And He only gives the promise to the seventh church.
Amen.
The seventh church is the only one that's seated with Him. Remember, your prophet said, he that overcometh. In the message, he that overcomes, I can't remember how it is. But he said what? He said that every church age was given a reward. And the second church age was given the first church age's reward too. The third church was given the second church's and the first church's reward. But the second church couldn't have the third church's reward. So then when you get to the seventh church age, you get all the rewards of the other church ages, and you get to sit on the throne. Are you ready for it again? And we know it. And we have this revelation hidden in earthen vessels. You got to break the fire out of the lamps just like Gideon did. You keep it in a lamp, but at some point in time, you've got to break out this pillar of fire. Your prophet's seen it. And church, it is to live inside of you. How can you be satisfied with anything less than the pillar of fire emanating from your being when it was made to be put out of you? People seeing a living pillar of fire. Yeah, we got it. And when the pillar of fire could come down by a prophet in a prayer line up at the podium, the entire audience would go nuts. Because a pillar of fire 100 feet away or 200 feet away could still stimulate. Where's our pillar of fire? Can't you feel that, Sister Julia? You're the farthest one. Oh, Brother Dustin. Can't you feel the pillar of fire that's talking to you right now?
Amen.
And the pillar of fire is telling you, this is you. This is your pillar of fire.
Amen.
I was made to be united with you. Why did you say that you would be in the light?
Come on.
Ah. to see that light. You can't see the light here already? You can't see the light when you go to church? Paradox 65, 143. It says, and how much more has He promised? How much more is it leaving the Bible to this very age that we're living? The Ephesians again of the church ages. If we were supposed to leave Laodicea back there, how did we end up back in Laodicea? We've got seven church ages, and we're promised that at the Laodicean church age, there would be another Ephesian. We're promised. Well, you see, that's not thus saith the Lord. So notice, that's right. We're here, I believe, with all my heart, that Jesus Christ, who made that promise, made the promise. Now, let me read you something very quickly. I'm reading a lot of quotes tonight. I want you to catch this. I got scriptures, and I skipped them all. I'm sorry. It says here, Christ is revealed in His own word. I want you to catch this. Because once you catch this, it'll start making a little more sense. But it's not a pass. It's not a pass. 89 says, so when you watch nature, now we see where every age and directly designed it out that we're in the last age. The shuck is pulled away. And we've had 15 years. Oh, wait. A church out of a church. So, if the prophet's message was a wheat with a shuck pulling away, if there was another age to move forward from that, there would have to be another pulling away of a wheat and a shock. Well, where would that be? Well, I know the Nazarene's got to pull away from you now. It's still going on. It's in the message. Don't you think two souls pulls away from you? Don't you think the seven thunders pulls away from you? I'll leave it there. So notice, we've had 15 years, nearly 20 years now, of the message sweeping across from the nation to nation. This morning, hooked up across this nation and no organization. Now notice what this is, 65:8:22. End of the very end of the ministry. It says, it can't organize. There's nothing ever been like it or will be hereafter. See, he thought the rapture was going to happen right there. That's why he's saying Ephesians is there. But remember his statement when he said it by inspiration. He said that Moses had to be took away so that Joshua could come and bring the people in. Moses was the law. Was your prophet the law? Didn't he reveal the law back to you? Yeah, but he revealed the holies of holies to us. What do you think Moses did? You think Moses was just some law prophet? What do you think the feasts were? What do you think all the Jubilee and all these other things were? It was the symbolism of the word that your prophet made real. Because Joshua in Ephesians, parallel.
Amen. Come on, right,
brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Now notice this. The thing that's the matter with the message today, 65:8:22. This is what's wrong with the message. What is wrong with the message in 1965? The thing that's the matter with the message today is those who obtain it in their hearts must lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened. So what was the problem? Maturity. To mature means to ripen. I deep. So deep. You can pick up the message and then let the Son bake all the greenness out of you.
Amen.
See, making matured Christians. See what I mean? God is coming soon to receive His church. We must have that type of Christians for Him to receive. The wheat has got to get ripe. All right. So, what is the problem with the message? Those who receive it have to mature. So, notice here, what is Ephesians? It's the mature church. I love this right here. I'm going to have to quit because I've been long. Be careful, brother. Because I got another hour in me. Paradox 65, 117. It says there had been many men raised up. There had been for hundreds and hundreds of years. They had no prophet. Oh, they had had priests and great man. And as we read the history between the time of Malachi and Matthew, 400 years, there had been great man, but there was no prophet. And then when he come on the scene to prove that he was that Ephesians made manifest. So what was Ephesians? Let me rephrase that. Who was Ephesians? Ephesians was Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Don't let this slip your mind. What is true Christian maturity? True maturity as a Christian is allowing all of you to be dominated by Christ. Which places maturity as a show of Jesus Christ and none of you. So where is the problem with our maturity? The problem with our maturity is we have not yielded to Jesus Christ enough. So, who was Ephesians? Jesus Christ. Now notice here. It says, to prove that he was that Ephesians made manifest. Notice this. John announced it. So he would send a forerunner to reveal Ephesians. And then when Ephesians played his role, he ascended up to heaven and Ephesians come into Ephesians. So God sends a prophet. Now notice how this can be seen. John come with no miracles. This prophet come with miracles. But remember, he was the messenger of that age. So he was announcing the maturity of that age. He was announcing the maturity of that age. So that all that would follow could realize the maturity that they could come under. So notice, he says at the end of Laodicea, there would have to come an Ephesus. Here he is in 65. I think we're in it. I believe we're in it. We're promised it. I know we're promised it. I believe we're here. Now there's another aspect of this, and I'm not going to get there tonight. But do you see what it is? He had the Ephesians inside of him. The age was cooling off, but he still had the Ephesians inside of him. But remember, he said, notice that there will be a falling back in my ministry, not a going forward. So he already said that it was going to fall back. Which means what? That's the problem with the message. The people have to have the maturity of that message. So notice, he was that Ephesians made manifest, John announced it, but Jesus was that. He was that the Word manifested Himself. So Jesus was the Ephesians because He was the manifested Word. But then Jesus could come inside of a church. And that church could be what? The manifested Word. So if we, by design of God, come into Ephesians, it means that we have to come into the manifestation of the Word. You know, like what we're looking at right now. Thanks, sis. I needed that because I was going to do it if you weren't. Do you see why we should leave here and every fiber of our being should be convicted, brutalized? I mean rebuked. The Bible calls it upbraided. Our unbelief has limited the movement of God so much. But you can be sad for a night. But remember, in the morning time, that the word sown shows that it's you. He can't do it without you.
Amen.
Oh, we're going that way again.
Louder.
Give me more.
Glory.
Higher. Just going to settle for that. I was looking for the Ephesian to manifest. Because when the prophet was on the scene, the pillar of fire come down, you could hear Ephesians out in the crowd. Well, you see, those were sisters or brothers crying out. No. There was an Ephesians that was manifesting inside of them. they had come into contact with the manifested Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Hallelujah! It's coming! You were born for it! He looked at Jeremiah and said, before you come from your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet. He looks at you and he says, before you come from your mother's womb, you were born, what? To manifest the Ephesians! Let's stand. I didn't get to a lot of scriptures tonight. I had a lot. We'll get to them on Sunday by the grace of God. You see how lucky we are. You have been called to manifest this. You have been called to have the living Word.
Amen.
Show Himself right out of you.
Amen.
It's going to happen here.
Amen.
God's revealed it to me.
Amen.
But I'm just doing the best I can by lingering until He does something. God, let me do more. You remember the quote I read? So here we are at the end of the night. We've received a word. And what was the word showing? And Ephesians hasn't fully shown itself yet when the prophet left. We can look and see it still hasn't. Which means there must be an Ephesians among us.
Amen.
It's okay. It's promised.
Amen.
It's okay. You were made for it.
Amen.
But Jesus is talking to you tonight. He said, I would that you were hot or cold. Not a big fan of lukewarm. How many like to say tonight, God, I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want any of that on me, God. Lord, bring me to a place, God, that I can yield what is here to you. God, I've been getting a back burner, Lord, about how I can yield to the Spirit and the Spirit can completely manifest on me. And God, I'm just sitting here. I'm not moving. God, I want to move. God, I want to accept that. God, I want to receive that. I want the Ephesians to make known in me. Is that your desire? If that's your desire tonight, let's just pray to Him. Say, God, I see it in your message, God. And Lord, how powerful it is that the mature Word is actually a person and not some deep something. Let's pray. If you want to talk to Him, perhaps you recognize tonight that, Lord, when He talked about all that conviction, all that not living up to what I'm supposed to be living up to, I'm identifying with that tonight. And if you've seen that on your hearts tonight, would you just pray with me now to Him? Would you cry out to that Ephesians? Would you talk to that Ephesians tonight sincerely? As we pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You tonight, God. And Lord, I see this Word, God. And God, how to manifest it, I just don't know, God. Lord, I believe we're doing the best we can, Lord. But Lord, we're still falling way short of Your requirement, God. Certainly if an Acts experience hasn't poured out like it did in the upper room, God, we haven't lived up to that place yet, God. At least by prophecy's measure, God. Lord, we have a revealed Word tonight, God. And Lord, we want, Lord, that revealed Word to leave letter form, God, and come on the inside of us, God. Be our teacher. Be our leader. Be, Lord, the one who dictates our every move, God. Lord, we just desire that tonight. We want an Ephesians inside of us, a mature individual walk with You, God. Lord, so united with that Spirit, God. I just pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, you would forgive me, God. I'll keep saying it until I see it, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd forgive me for all my failures, all my shortcomings. Forgive this church, God. Don't cut us off from this Word, God. But keep on feeding us this Word, God. And give us strength to bring action out of this Word, Lord. Lord, we don't need a deep Word. We need a deep manifested Word. A living Word, Lord, to control our beings, God. Lord, I want to yield to that right now, Lord. Lord, I don't care if I'm different or whatever I am, God. Lord, I just want you, Lord. And I pray that the church, Lord, they'd be willing to sacrifice anything, God. Lord, let me sacrifice anything, Lord, to make way for this Ephesians. I pray, God, you get us ready, Lord. I believe we're sitting right at this very hour, God. Everything is getting ready to burst loose from the seams, God. And get ready to burst from the seams, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you give us strength, God, that we're entering into some very perilous times right now, Lord. And, Lord, it just looks like, Lord, how this flesh acts, God, like we're just going to wait it out until the emergency rolls, God. I pray, God, take that away. Take that Laodicean way away. God, forgive us, Lord. And, Lord, give us the ability to stretch every day to glorify you, God. Give us the ability to love you like you deserve to be loved. We want a first love, God. Come, manifest Ephesus inside of us, God. Lord, that's all I can do is humbly ask you, Lord. And Lord, I come in a repentant way, God. Lord, the word you revealed to me, God, I believe this, God. I see it, Lord. And God, it hurts me, God, because the more I preach it, the more I want to live it, God, but the less I'm able to, God. I feel just like Paul, Lord. But Lord, your prophet said that when Moses was took away, grace would come on the scene. Lord, we're looking for that grace tonight. Come, grace. Come, person of the Holy Ghost, Lord, of Jesus Christ, and live in your people, Lord. We just ask you, just give us strength to press on into you, Lord. We need more of you, Lord. We just ask it, God, that you'd come, Lord, afresh to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. As we get ready to close service, we'll sing a song or so. And I want you to put that on your minds. What has this been to you? Are you happy with your lifestyle? Are you happy with what you've offered up to God? Or do you really feel like there's more to be done? Let's keep that attitude, that spirit of revival on us. Because we all know that we haven't done it. We need it. And we need that Ephesus. Because we're not getting out of here without it. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to give until, oh yes, Lord, no. if this is okay to say, but our precious sister Karen had called Sister Wendy this evening, and she had it on her heart to have Sister Wendy sing a song for our congregation tonight. And Sister Wendy was a little late, but I find it fitting how God does things. And I'm going to have her come up and sing that song. And after she's done singing, brother, you can continue to sing forth. And I pray we just enter into the spirit of this, because to me it just looks like it's right on. If you'd like to have your seat, you can. If you'd like to stand up, you can sing it. Stand up. It's a congregational. But,
to Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Fall on me. I
ran. Would you sing that last verse? And all to Jesus I surrender now. I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory. Sing that song, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." Oh Lord, You're beautiful, and Your face is all I see. For in Your eyes are beautiful, and Your face. How many believe that the evening time is here? Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause, saints.